Hi, I'm Tessa Marshall, and welcome to the news podcast for week 3 of Free the Vaccine. We've got the news you need to help make the COVID vaccine sustainably priced, available to all, and free at the point of delivery. This week, 2 new vaccines are in phase 3 clinical trials. So we look at what this means for the vaccine landscape. We'll also unscramble another acronym in the COVID vaccine space, CEPI.
Vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you people, take a stand. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. Please don't charge me just because you can.
Since last week, 2 new vaccines have entered clinical trials, bringing the total to 11. The day after I recorded last week's podcast, pharmaceutical company Johnson & Johnson announced that they had entered phase 3 trials for their COVID vaccine. They're a little late to the party compared to some of the other big pharma trials, which are already well into phase 3. But Johnson & Johnson's trial is set to be the biggest so far. They've enrolled 60,000 participants across 7 countries, including the US, South Africa, Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Peru, and Mexico. As well as being a really big trial, there's also a few aspects of the vaccine itself which would hopefully make it easier and cheaper to distribute the J&J vaccine compared to some of the other vaccines in development. First of all, J&J's vaccine is only one shot. That means everyone only needs the vaccine once, whereas some other vaccines require multiple booster shots. A one-dose vaccine would be cheaper and mean we could reach more people faster. Secondly, this vaccine can be stored in the fridge. And again, this is much cheaper and easier to distribute than, for example, Pfizer's vaccine, which has to be kept in a special freezer at minus 70 degrees Celsius. The other company entering phase 3 trials is Novavax, a US company that has never brought a vaccine to market before. They're trialling their COVID vaccine in the UK, with 10,000 participants enrolled. Although Novavax is also a little late to the party, their vaccine had really promising responses in early trials, so hopefully we find the same thing in phase 3. Now, both Johnson & Johnson and Novavax have received funding from Operation Warp Speed. The sci-fi name's a little deceiving. Operation Warp Speed, and I'm sorry, I just can't help but say it in that tone because of the name. Operation Warp Speed is simply the US government's program that invests in and coordinates COVID vaccine efforts. The goal of the program is to have 300 million vaccine doses ready by January next year. Johnson & Johnson has received about $1.5 billion from this program, and Novavax has received about $1.6 billion. In return for funding these companies' efforts, the US gets at least 100 million doses of the vaccine to give to its population when it's ready. The government has poured billions and billions of dollars into Operation Warp Speed, not just for Novavax and J&J. They've also done similar deals with other companies that it thinks have a promising vaccine, including Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Pfizer. Basically, it's one of the many ways the US is using to guarantee themselves some vaccine doses when it's ready. Now, Operation Warp Speed has been criticised for lack of transparency and for not having a clear plan on how a vaccine would ultimately be distributed. And like we spoke about last time, this type of arrangement between a single country and a vaccine manufacturer doesn't exactly promote universal access. By focusing on guaranteeing themselves a vaccine, the US is taking part in vaccine nationalism. People and organisations around the world are worried that this behaviour will lead to vaccine hoarding, so that many other countries miss out. It's something that COVAX, which we spoke about last week, is trying to solve. Another point about Operation Warp Speed, which has poured billions of dollars of taxpayer money into these vaccines, is that they don't really have a clear idea of how these vaccines will be priced and distributed. This means there's a very real risk that the public will be paying twice for the vaccine, first with their taxes, and then again paying an exorbitant price to Big Pharma. But we've heard all those issues before. They're not unique to Operation Warp Speed, and they're not even unique to COVID. These are issues that plague the access to medicines world, which is why organisations like Free the Vaccine and everyone listening to this podcast are here in the first place, to make sure everyone who needs the vaccine and other medical treatment can get it when they need it. All right, get out your Scrabble boards, because it's now time to unscramble the meaning behind another acronym. The letters in your hand? C, E, P and I. CEPI. It's an organisation that's playing a big role in vaccine development. CEPI stands for the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. They're a foundation that, unlike many governments it seems, knew that the question was not if the world would have another pandemic, but when.
Right now, somewhere in the world, a killer is waiting. This killer is infectious disease. In 2014, a lethal virus known as Ebola spread from West Africa to as far as Spain and the United States. Global leaders united to create the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, CEPI.
That's from CEPI's promo video in 2019, before the COVID pandemic really took off. Their job is to take donations from various entities, whether it's countries, charities, philanthropists, or whatever, whoever will give them money, and use that money to finance research into vaccines for any disease that could cause the next pandemic. CEPI was initially launched after the shocking Ebola pandemic. The epidemic showed the world how we desperately needed a better way to respond to deadly new diseases. Despite the fact that an Ebola vaccine had been in development for over a decade, it wasn't until a year after the epidemic started that the vaccine was finally sort of implemented. There just wasn't that market incentive there for companies to develop a vaccine for it. Now, before COVID, CEPI's main focus was on a few key diseases that we think could devastate the world. So, for example, Ebola, but also a bunch of diseases that you may not have heard of. Lassa virus, Nipah virus, Rift Valley fever, and so on. They also were trying to be prepared for disease X, which basically just means any mystery disease that we don't even know about yet that could cause a pandemic. Just because you haven't heard of a disease doesn't mean it couldn't present a massive threat in the future. Had you heard of coronaviruses before November last year? So, how is CEPI dealing with the current COVID pandemic? Well, they're one of the leaders of COVAX, which is the vaccine access program that we spoke about last week. CEPI's main role in COVAX is to fund the research and development of multiple potential COVID vaccines. They currently have 9 vaccines that are funded to make up their portfolio. If any of these vaccines succeed in trials, this vaccine will be the one that is distributed to countries who have signed up to COVAX, hopefully in the most equitable way possible. Though, as we have mentioned, there are some criticisms of the way that COVAX works. CEPI itself has received its fair share of criticism too. Its equitable access policy was once considered to be a strong, clear policy, but over the years it has been weakened and downgraded. Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, published an open letter in March saying that CEPI's new policy no longer ensures equitable access to the vaccines around the world, and asked CEPI to strengthen their policy. It's not a surprise, really, that CEPI would be under pressure to reduce their commitment to equitable access. Some of the vaccines funded by CEPI are from big pharma companies that we've already mentioned. Vaccines from AstraZeneca and Moderna that we've spoken about on this podcast are in there, among others. Now, despite this criticism, CEPI's entire job is to prepare vaccines for disease outbreaks like COVID. So 2020 should be their time to shine. But until we have an effective vaccine, it's hard to know for certain how all of these access policies will play out. And we won't know for sure, until then, whether CEPI's approach will truly enable access. We'll have to wait and see. Well, that's all we've got time for in this week's news from Free the Vaccine. I hope this helped you gain a little insight into CEPI, another confusing acronym, and kept you up to date on how vaccine research is going. The music you're hearing now and at the beginning of the podcast is thanks to our amazing Free the Vaccine band. I hope you all enjoyed meeting your squads and doing your research this week. See you next time.
Vaccine. Please don't charge me just because you can.